Ayah number 86. وَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ. And when a surah is revealed, أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, that believe in Allah. وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ, and do jihad along with his messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. What happens? إِسْتَأْذَنَكَ. Some people come and begin seeking permission from you, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Permission for what? To remain behind from the battle. And the reason why this is condemnable is because they are أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ, those of wealth among them. وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ, and they say, leave us, let us be with those who remain at home, with those who sit back at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying over here the sluggishness of the hypocrites in good deeds and in going out in the way of Allah. That neither surahs of the Qur'an nor any verses have any effect on them. وَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ, when an entire surah is sent down. And the message of that surah is very clear. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, that believe in Allah. وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ, and also do jihad along with his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning it's not just an ayah, it's not just a few verses, it is an entire surah. And think about it, if there's an entire surah that is dedicated to giving the same message, that believe in Allah, strengthen your iman, revive your faith, prove your faith, continue on with your iman. And how do you do that? Through actions. You revive and you strengthen, you continue with your faith. How? By doing actions that are pleasing to Allah, the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. And when it is made very clear that jahidu ma'a rasulihi, do jihad along with his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do the hypocrites respond? Ista'dhanaka ulu tawli minhum. Ista'dhanaka from idhn. Isti'dhan is to seek idhn, meaning to seek permission. So who begins to seek permission from you? Ulu tawli minhum. Those of at-tawl among them. At-tawl means affluence. Basically, the word tawl is from ta wa lam, and tawl is the height or the length of something. Tawil, yani something very long. And at-tawl is when a person has a lot of sa'a, yani vastness in their wealth, in their means. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with a lot of favor. And it is said that tawl is any, not just to all of a sudden become rich and then lose it all. No, it is to be any constantly in a comfortable state. Any, a person who is wealthy, a person who is well-to-do, a person who has material means and affluence. So those of means and wealth begin to ask your permission, meaning to be excused. And it really does not befit them to ask for this permission. Why? Because there is nothing preventing them from going forth in the way of Allah. They are capable, and so they should be at the forefront. In fact, they should be supporting others. And they should be thankful to Allah for the blessing of wealth, and show gratitude to Allah for the blessing of wealth through what? Through using that wealth in the way of Allah. And here specifically, for jihad fi sabilillah. And because the surah makes it very clear that they have to do jihad, yani jihad is obligatory on them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made it easy for them, facilitated it for them, how? By giving them the wealth and means, then they should be grateful to Allah. You know, for example, sometimes there is something that we are commanded to do, but a person is not able to do it. Like, for example, imagine it's the month of Ramadan, and a person is ill, they're not able to fast. So how do they feel? They feel sad, right? But if there's a person who enters the month of Ramadan in health, in stability, in safety, what happens? They feel glad that, alhamdulillah, I am able to do this. Alhamdulillah, I am able to fast. A person wants to go for Hajj. They're not able to go. If they're not able to go, again, they feel sad about it. But if there's a person who is able to go, then they feel grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited me and I came. So it does not befit ulu tawl, those of wealth and affluence, that they begin to seek permission to stay behind. This is not just disobedience, this is also ingratitude for the wealth, for the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a blessing, shukr for that blessing is what? That you use that blessing in ways that are pleasing to Allah. So when Allah has blessed them with wealth, what should they do? They should use that wealth in the way of Allah, in ways that are pleasing to Him. But what happens to them? They begin to seek permission through excuses that are not justifiable, through excuses that are false, they're not valid. And in the Quran, we learn that before the battle, the way of the hypocrites is that when the announcement for battle is made, they become very weak and timid. And they look like someone who is at the verge of dying. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 19. That فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْخَوْفُ رَأَيْتَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ تَدُورُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ كَالَّذِي يُغْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. That when the fear comes, meaning the cause of fear, which is the battle, the announcement for battle is made, you see them looking at you, their eyes constantly going around, they're not able to focus their vision, like someone who is covered with the pangs of death, someone who's at the verge of dying. And this is how weak and timid they become. Whereas in reality, they're not that weak and timid. The news of going for jihad fi sabilillah terrifies them. But then afterwards, after the battle, what happens? They come arguing. They come as sharp-tongued, demanding a share of the booty. And this is mentioned in the same ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 19, that فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الْخَوْفُ, when the fear departs, meaning when the battle is over, and Allah grants you victory, سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ, they slash you with very sharp tongues. So Ibn Kathir mentions that when war breaks out, hypocrites are the most cowardly of people. إِسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ, they're the most cowardly of people. But in times of peace, they're the most talkative of people, the most sharp-tongued. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing the way of these people over here, that إِسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ. And they say, وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. They say, leave us. ذَرْنَا, ذَرْ, from وَذَرَ يَذَرُ. Again, ذَرْ is a command. Okay? وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا. Okay? They say, leave us, meaning behind in Medina. نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ, we will be of those who are قاعدين. قاعدين, plural of قاعد. And قاعد is the one who sits. And here, sitting is a figurative way of referring to those who remain at home and do not go for battle. Like someone who's just sitting, they don't get up and go. So القاعدين refers to the people who are not required to go for jihad, such as the sick, the old, the weak, children, poor, people who cannot afford to go, women, slaves. These are people who are not obligated to do jihad. So they say, leave us, let us be with those who are qa'idin. Meaning they choose for themselves humiliation and shame. They want to be of those who are excused. Whereas those who are excused, given their genuine excuse, wish that they could go for jihad. Like Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we consider jihad to be the best deed, to be afdal amal. Shall we not participate in jihad? And she was asking on behalf of women. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that your jihad is hajj and umrah. Okay? So remember that jihad is a privilege. It is an honorable rank. It's a great deed in the sight of Allah. But look at these people. They're capable of doing it. It is obligatory on them. And they still make excuses and seek permission to be exempted from it. And this is quite an insult over here when they say, ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ, because they're men, they're able-bodied, they're wealthy, they're capable, and still they want to be left behind with the children and the weak and the sick and the elderly who are not able to go for jihad or who are not required to go for jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ, they are satisfied to be with those who remain behind. What is wrong with them? How are they content with this? How are they happy with this? That they are left back at home with al-khawalif, with the women who remain behind, meaning from jihad. What has happened with them? Al-khawalif is the plural of the word khalifa. Okay, khalifa. From خَالَمْ فَا. And Khalifa is the woman who remains behind from jihad, meaning she does not go for jihad. Okay? And the plural of Khalifa is Khawalif. Okay? Now, if a man is left behind and he does not go for battle, they're not called Khawalif. They're called Khalifun. Okay? So Khawalif is plural of a feminine word, Khalifa. And Khalifun is the plural of Khalif, meaning it's used for masculine. So, رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. And this is quite an insult, that they're pleased to be left behind with the women. What kind of men are they? They want to be left behind with the women who have been exempted by Allah from going for jihad. You know, like Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was instructed to remain behind in Medina at the time of Tabuk, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had entrusted to him the affairs of his family, Ali radiallahu anhu was so shocked and he wasn't happy with this. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that atukhallifuni fi sibyani wan nisa, that are you leaving me among the children and the women? And he was not pleased with the idea that as a man, as someone who is capable of going for jihad, is left behind among the children and the women, because he believed that he was of Ahlul Qital, people who were capable of fighting. So it did not sit right with him that he should remain in Medina while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes for jihad. And in contrast, these people, the hypocrites, were very happy. They were very pleased with being left among the Khawalif. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَلَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ نَبِيٌّ بَعْدِي. That will you not be pleased that you will be to me like Harun to Musa? But of course there is no prophet after me. Meaning, are you not pleased that you are like Harun was to Musa? Because when Harun alayhi salam stayed behind while Musa alayhi salam went to the mount, this was not wrong on the part of Harun alayhi salam. This was not a deficiency, a naqs on his part. It was not a fault on his part. Right? Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was consoling Ali radiallahu anhu that you're not staying behind out of laziness. You're not being left behind because of some weakness. No, you are being left behind because you have to fulfill a certain responsibility. And this is not a fault on your part. But the hypocrites, they were very happy to be left behind among the women. رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. And if you think about it, even among children, you see this, that if a boy is given something that, you know, girls are doing, especially in cultures and societies where boys are taught to be, you know, strong and manly, and if a boy is compared to girls, it's an insult. And for an Arab man, especially at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was an insult. That رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. And their hearts were sealed over, so they do not understand. وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, meaning a permanent seal has been set on their hearts. That is what طَبَعَ means, to place a permanent seal. And because of that, once the seal is there, nothing can go in and nothing can come out. So this means that their hearts are devoid of any good, of growth, of life, any. Nothing good comes out, nothing good goes in. An entire surah is revealed and they don't benefit from it. And no good action comes out of their hearts. And this shows us that the living heart can never be content at the back of the rows, right? Because we see over here that it is the people whose hearts are sealed who like to be left behind, who don't want to be ahead, who don't want to participate in good things. وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. So as a result, they do not understand. What is it that they do not understand? Things that are in their best interest. They don't understand what is truly good for them in this world, what is truly good for them in the hereafter. They do not understand what is beneficial for them. They do not understand what is harmful for them. And as a result, they don't have any will to do what brings them benefit and success. And you will notice in the Quran that repeatedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the hypocrites that they do not comprehend. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, Ayah 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. That is because they believed and then they disbelieved. So as a result, a seal was placed over their hearts, and so they do not comprehend. In the same surah, Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah number 7, وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. But the hypocrites do not understand. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn that لا يشعرون, they do not perceive. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, they do not know. So, they do not comprehend what is in their true interests. They only follow their desires. Because if they truly understood, they would never be pleased with this condition, right? That they are left behind among the women and the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَكِنِ الرَّسُولُ, but the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, and those who believed with him. What did they do? When a surah was revealed, making it clear that people should believe and do jihad fi sabilillah, what happens when they hear the surah? جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. They went and fought in the way of Allah. How? With their wealth and their lives. They took their wealth and they spent from their own pockets, and they also went on the journey themselves, willing to sacrifice their lives in the way of Allah, bearing all the difficulty, physical difficulty, hunger, fatigue, hardship, all of that in the way of Allah. جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. Remember that jihad is not just about, having a good night's rest and then, bulking up, on a good diet, and then, you're all fit and ready for a fight. That's not how jihad works. It means that you are hungry for days, you are exhausted for days, you have slept many nights without comfortable sleep. And imagine when the Prophet ﷺ went to Tabuk, first of all, they were preparing for the journey, then eventually the journey itself, which was so long, through in such hot weather, the terrain being so difficult. And if ever we have to walk an entire day or half a day, if we do like 10,000 steps, we think that we have done something remarkable. And if you're traveling on foot, and even if not on foot, you are on a camel, on a horse. Sitting on a camel or a horse is not comfortable. Your entire body begins to ache after some time because you feel the pressure on your body. So, أَنفُسِهِمْ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is how they responded to the call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ, and those, for them are good things, are good rewards. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and those, they are the ones who are successful. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the exact opposite, the contrast of those who were mentioned above. The hypocrites, even though they're capable of going for jihad, they seek permission to remain behind, and they hold back from going in the way of Allah. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers, that Allah will suffice without these hypocrites, right? And if these people who are capable of going for jihad don't go for jihad, it's okay, because Allah has other servants, His chosen ones among His creation, whom He has favored, and when they're commanded to do jihad fi sabilillah, they go forth in the way of Allah. So, لَكِنِ الرَّسُولُ, but the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ, the sahaba, those who believed along with him, جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is similar to how in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن يَكْفُرْ بِهَا هَؤُلَاءِ فَقَدْ وَكَّلْنَا بِهَا قَوْمًا لَيْسُوا بِهَا بِكَافِرِينَ. That if these people disbelieve, then we have entrusted it to a people who are not disbelievers in it. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace them. Allah is in no need of these people to believe. Similarly, Allah is in no need of these people of wealth and capability to go for jihad in His way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace them with others. And there is always substitutes. In Surah Muhammad, ayah 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا, if you turn away, then يَسْتَبَدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, Allah will replace you with another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ, and they will not be like you. They will do jihad without any laziness, without being slow. Rather, they will be happy to do jihad fi sabilillah. For them, it is an honor. If you think about it, going for Tabuk was not something small. Because, yes, the journey was long, but the enemy fighting the Romans was something huge. The Romans were experienced in battle, well-equipped, wealthy. They had armies of thousands and thousands of soldiers, people who were dedicated for this purpose, with so much training and so many resources. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the first time, had made a public call for jihad, telling everybody, those in Medina, those outside of Medina, everybody to come for jihad, to participate in Tabuk. Why? Because every single person, their participation was needed. So think about it, when people whom you expect help and cooperation from abandon you, they don't show up when you are counting on them. And instead of helping you, they're helping against you. This is all very disheartening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles the believers over here that it's okay if these people don't come forth. Allah is enough if these people who have the ability and the means to help you, to make a difference, if they don't show up, it is only their loss. Allah is not in need of them. لَكِنِ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. These are the people whom Allah loves. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. These are the people who will have الخيرات. الخيرات, plural of الخيرة. And here, خيرات means a lot of good things. خير الكثير. Abundant blessings in this world and the hereafter. And this means, وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. This means that these good rewards, these abundant good rewards are reserved only for who? For those who do jihad. Meaning those who do not do jihad, those who abandon jihad, will not have this. They will not have a share of al-khayrat. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And those are the ones who will be successful. Meaning they're the ones who will attain what they intended. Right? And falah, success, is what? That a person attains what they intend. But falah is not just about, setting, a goal, having, a vision, and then just sleeping on it. No. Falah is from falhul ard, right? Which is harth, farming, agriculture, which produces a harth, crop, right? And that comes with what? With work, with effort, setting a goal, and then working towards it. So they're the ones who will attain what they intended. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, this means that it is only these people who will be muflihun. There's ikhtisas over here. It is only these people. Which means that those who do not do jihad cannot be of the muflihun. There's no guarantee for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains their falah, their success. He says, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. Allah has prepared for them gardens. Meaning those gardens are already prepared so that there's no delay in them attaining their rewards. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has prepared for them. Allah has prepared for them. And He shows how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people of jihad. How much He cares for them. How much He appreciates them. That Allah Himself has prepared for them jannat. Gardens, plural of Jannah. And remember that Jannah is a garden that is of dense foliage. All right, because the word indicates that there's something hidden over here. Jinn is also from the same root because jinn are hidden. Right, Janin, the fetus, also because it is hidden. Okay, there's dense foliage so that there's privacy. What is inside is hidden. And it means that it is a luscious, beautiful garden, Jannat. And these jannat are of great heights with elevated homes because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, beneath which rivers flow. When you're talking about beneath, that means that there is a height, right? So this shows that their homes will be in elevated places from where they will see rivers flowing down below. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. And it can also mean that these rivers will be flowing beneath, under their control. Under the control of the inhabitants of paradise. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, remaining in there forever, never to be displaced from paradise, never to be driven out, and never desiring any other place. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, for eternity, not just a long time, but for eternity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the great success, meaning nothing but this is great success. There is no attainment greater than this, ever. Nothing, no success, no accomplishment in the world even compares. Any accomplishment of this world, anything great that a person attains in this world, is less. It is nothing, nothing at all compared to the rewards of paradise. ذلك الفوز العظيم. So in this is good news for those who do jihad, and also a condemnation of those who do not do jihad. That what is wrong with them? That they do not desire what the mujahideen desire? Now, here we learn that there is special rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the mujahideen. And in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are 100 levels of paradise. 100 levels of paradise which Allah has prepared only for mujahideen fi sabilillah. And the distance between each two levels is like the distance between the sky and the earth. Subhanallah. These ranks of paradise are reserved for who? The shuhada, the mujahidun, those who strive in the way of Allah. All right, let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ اسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُن مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ رَضُوا بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ وَطُبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ لكن الرسول والذين آمنوا معه جاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم وأولئك لهم الخيرات وأولئك هم المفلحون أعد الله لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك الفوز العظيم.
Somebody's asking about what is jihad for women at home. So remember that Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we consider jihad to be the best deed. So shall we not do jihad? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that your jihad is hajj and umrah. And when you do hajj and umrah, that is your jihad. That is how you attain the rewards of jihad. And really for women, hajj and umrah is much harder than it is for men. The reason being that men, when they go for hajj and umrah, they just get up and go. But for women, they can't just go. They have children, they have so many, family responsibilities. So for them to be able to go, first of all, it is difficult. For them to be able to afford the journey, it takes much longer time for a woman to be able to save up that much money and go for hajj and umrah. And then going there and performing all the rituals, that also requires a lot of physical effort. And given the different, conditions that a woman experiences in her lifetime, from pregnancy to childbirth to taking care of children, all of that takes a toll on her health. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most just and most kind. And for a woman, her jihad is hajj and umrah. Of course, we know that women at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still participated in going along with the army. There's numerous women, of course, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also go. And there were other women also who would go so that they could, nurse the wounded and also help the soldiers in whatever way that they could. And when the need was there were times when the Sahabiyat even picked up weapons. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not instruct them to pick up the weapons to fight the enemy. But when they did pick up weapons and actively engage in fighting because of the situation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forbid them, nor did he condemn them. In fact, he praised them for their bravery. So, it is not an obligation, but there's different ways in which women have always participated. All right, ayah number 90. وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ And those with excuses among the Bedouins came to be permitted. وَقَعْدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And they who had lied to Allah and His Messenger sat at home. Now remember that there were basically five types of people who did not go for the expedition of Tabuk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first category is of those who were instructed to remain behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them that they should remain behind in Medina. They should not go for Tabuk. And these were only two people. Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to remain in Medina. Why? So that he would take care of the people of his household, any of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second person was Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. He was also instructed to remain behind in Medina because he was appointed as Amir of the people of Medina until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would return. So Ali radiallahu anhu was tasked with taking care of any the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically taking care of his personal affairs. And Muhammad ibn Maslama was appointed to take care of the rest of the people. Okay. The second category was of those who were not Ahlul Qital, meaning people who were not obligated to participate in battle. And these are women, children, elderly, weak, those who were ill, even slaves. Slaves are not obligated to go for jihad. Likewise, people who could not afford to go. They wanted to, but they didn't have the means to go, nor could they find anybody to sponsor them. So these are people who are not Ahlul Qital. The third category is of those who could not afford to go. Okay. Meaning they had the physical means, but they could not afford to go. And they could not find anybody to sponsor them. They could not find what they could spend. They had no weapons to fight with. They had no means to travel with. All right. The fourth category is of the hypocrites who remained behind on purpose. And they were from the people of Medina, the inhabitants of Medina, and also from the outskirts of Medina. And these were the hypocrites who deliberately remained behind without any excuse. They were ulul tawl, they could go, but they chose to stay behind. Some of them offered excuses, some of them didn't bother to do that. But the main thing is that it is on account of hypocrisy that they remained behind. And they were from the inhabitants of Medina and also from the outskirts of Medina. And the fifth category is of the sinful among the believers, right? Meaning they were sincere believers and they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in staying behind from Tabuk. And these were only 10 people. And inshallah, we will learn about them later in the surah. All the rest of the people left for Tabuk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why this was one of the greatest, largest Muslim armies. Okay. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from Tabuk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ. The mu'adhirun among the Bedouins came. Why did they come? To offer fake apologies. لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ, so that they are pardoned. Okay. Here, إِذْن would mean not permission, but pardon. Okay. Mu'adhirun is from the word udhr. Udhr is an excuse. All right. An excuse. So mu'adhirun are those with excuses. Okay. Those with excuses. So the Bedouins, some of the Bedouins came presenting false excuses, fake apologies. Why? So that they're pardoned and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not upset with them. Okay. Remember, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had instructed the people of Medina to go for Tabuk, he had also instructed those in the outskirts of Medina to go for Tabuk. Now, al-A'rab is the plural of A'rabi. And A'rab means Bedouins, the rural or nomadic people. And they were those who lived in the outskirts of Medina, meaning not in the city, but in the desert, in the country. There's a hadith in which we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if they say the kalima, if they testify that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is messenger, then tell them to make the hijrah. And if they refuse to make the hijrah, then they are like the A'rab of the Muslims. The A'rab who are Muslim, the Bedouins who are Muslim, meaning they will have no share of the fate. Anyway, that's a different matter. But the main thing is that there were people who lived outside of Medina, all right, and they were Muslim. So Al-A'rab are the Muslim Bedouins who lived outside of Medina. Now, of course, wherever there's a population, you have different types of people in that population. So among the A'rab were also hypocrites. There were elements of hypocrisy. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the A'rab also to go for Tabuk, many among them went. And then there were also those who did not go, who remained behind. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back to Medina, What happened? وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ They came offering fake apologies so that they are pardoned. Okay. Now, it is also possible that the word مُعَذِّرُون means those with excuses, as in those with genuine excuses. Okay. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam presenting their genuine excuses because of which they were not able to go, right? Or they came before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for Tabuk so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would grant them permission to remain behind. All right? So there were those who had genuine excuses, okay? There were also those who assumed that they had genuine excuses, but they weren't actually sufficient to exempt them from jihad. And some came with completely fake excuses, false, okay, lies. Okay, now whether they were truthful or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge in their regard, correct? Any whether the mu'adhirun were making up excuses, false excuses, or they had genuine excuses, or they assumed that they had a genuine excuse, whereas it was not sufficient enough to exempt them from jihad. In any case, who knew their true condition? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is going to judge in regard to them? Allah azza wa jal. Okay, so this is one category of mu'adhirun. Those who, you know, made excuses or had genuine excuses. Okay, but then there was another type of hypocrites. Who? They were وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And those who lied to Allah and His Messenger remained sitting. Meaning they did not even bother to come to the Prophet ﷺ and offer an excuse or an apology or seek permission or seek pardon. Nothing. These were the hypocrites who lied to Allah and His Messenger about what? About their claim of faith. They said, we believe. And believing means that we will obey. But when it came time to obey, they did not obey. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them liars. They كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ So basically, they did not even bother. Okay, and this was on account of their arrogance or their harshness, their lack of good adab. Okay. So وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Imagine if there is a person who does not do what they're required to do. The least they can do is offer an apology, right? Acknowledge that, oh, I should have done this and I'm sorry I didn't do it. Or come up with a story. This is what people do because there's some kind of guilt or shame, regret inside. So they come up with a story, true or false or made up, whatever. But something because they feel bad. They want to mend the relationship. But here, these hypocrites did not even bother to come and offer an apology or an excuse or anything like that. So basically, those who remained behind, okay, of the hypocrites, okay, the hypocrites who remained behind, or rather, not just the hypocrites, those with excuses, okay, al-mu'adhirun, those with excuses, you can say that they were also of different kinds. Firstly, those who came and offered valid excuses, okay, meaning before the expedition or after, but they had valid excuses and they came and offered those excuses and apologized or they were granted permission to remain behind. Second were those who came and offered excuses, but those excuses were not valid. They did not justify that they should remain behind. Like in the Quran, we learn that they say, شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا that our properties and families kept us busy. Yeah, of course they'll keep you busy. But when there is an obligation on you to fulfill, then you have to prioritize that. And then third, those who made up excuses, those who lied. Fourth were the hypocrites of Medina. All right. And the first three were the A'rab. Okay. And then you have the fifth category of those who did not even bother to offer any excuses. Okay. So you have those Bedouins with valid excuses. Second, those Bedouins with unacceptable excuses. Third, those Bedouins who lied, right? Who made false excuses, fake excuses. Fourth were the hypocrites of Medina. And from both the hypocrites of Medina and the Bedouins, the fifth are who? Those who did not even bother to offer an apology or an excuse, nothing. And they pretended as if nothing had happened. They pretended as if they had done nothing wrong whatsoever. They went on in their day-to-day and in their interactions with the Muslims as if they had not fallen short in their duty at all. May Allah protect us from such ignorance, such unawareness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens them, those who lied and did not even bother to come and apologize or offer an excuse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens them that سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, that those who disbelieved among them will be struck by a painful punishment. Meaning, don't think that just because you pretend like nothing has happened, then nothing will happen. No, you lied to Allah. You lied to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You disbelieved after your iman. And here you are pretending as if you have done nothing wrong. No, there will be consequences. There will be punishment for this. A painful punishment, in fact, in this world and also in the hereafter. You know, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when you see something wrong, then stop it with your hand, change it with your hand. And if you cannot do that, then use your tongue, right? And if that also a person does not do, then at least they feel bad in their heart. And that is the weakest of faith. This is what? That they don't even feel bad. They don't even feel bad about the fact that they did not go for Tabuk and that they did not seek permission and they did not apologize. Nothing happens to them. Their life is still the same. They don't feel any shame. They don't feel any pain. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.